This is the famous sheet of paper in which we write down all of our little bits of information. Station break at 5. We have to identify what sort of program it is, where it emanates from. It's a local program. It starts at 5 o'clock, and this is where I sign on. So then, now our mystery guest, our mystery host, come in, sign in, please. Well, panel, now don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to say that I don't appreciate what Marx gave us, truly a great gift to us all. And in the course of these sort of centennial obituary reports, there are a lot of people, you know, Marx came up with some ideas, none of them original. And there's, again, that sneer, that capitalist sneer in that, hey, he couldn't even think for himself. Oh. And that's, in a sense, goes precisely against what Marx was talking about, where the real essence of Marx is the notion that the individual is filled with much, I think the term sin would not be inappropriate, though it certainly would not be strictly Marxist, that the individual self-consideration, as one might say, that was responsible for so much of the problems, and one must give up a certain measure of one's individuality and think of the greater good, of the social whole. And as T.S. Eliot would remark in individual, let's say it's called Tradition and the Individual Talent. He said the individual talent is only a little bit of what makes a work great, and that every time somebody is writing, he is writing in part in awareness of that tradition, whether he is writing against it or writing through it. But nonetheless, that tradition, that body of work that has come before, is part and cannot be taken away from the final work. So too with Marx, and so too with anything, because if one knows literature, one can then look at the world with a clear eye. So I don't want to give you the impression that you can dump your collection of Marx. I'd rather have you reread your Marx and read it with less of the school, shall we say that, that schoolboy, no offense to all you boys out there, that schoolboy approach of saying, this is what the teacher says, this is what the book says, and remember all these things so I can pass the exam. Think it through and take that which is good and discard that which you don't feel. You find that Marx doesn't really talk about a lot of particulars, except in Capital, which is a big book filled with particulars. But when he's talking about the general spirit, it's hard to disagree. And one of his great strengths is his position not as a political brain or political strategist, but in a sense as a moral philosopher. The notion of a social good, socials and social evils, evil, the good that men do is oft buried in their bones, as the saying goes. And I guess to point out that in the pantheon of a revolution, Marx sit high, at least, among my heroes, because he did, in fact, suffer for what he believed in, although his suffering is sometimes mitigated by saying, well, you know, if he didn't have Engels, he would have starved to death. Precisely, if he didn't have Engels, he would have starved to death. Maybe we should do, rather than dedicate ourselves to the continuing worship of Marx, is to take a step back and to do a little investigation of Engels, dear old Fritz, the man who made revolution possible by his constant support of Karl. As Chairman Mao once remarked, who knows but that in 1,000 years, even Marx and Engels might appear a bit ridiculous. Of course, one hastens to point out that Mao noted that it might take 1,000 years.